Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
But this morning we want to close out our series called Come to Worship. Next week we're going to come back to church at 10 o'clock. We're going to have a communion service. I'll share briefly about communion, and then what we want to do next week is have families come together, and we want to serve you communion as a family. Maybe you say, I don't have a family that comes with me to church. That's okay. You can be adopted into one of our families. We would love to have you. There's lots of people in this church that would love to bring you in as a part of their family. So next week, that's what we're going to be doing, 10 o'clock. It won't be a very long service, but I think it'll be impactful, just talking about communion, talking about ending the year. But today we want to finish up with Come to Worship. Now, we've talked about lifting your hands. We talked about bringing your gift. We talked about pouring out our hearts last week. Now, this week, we're going to end with the idea of bowing our knees. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, staying with the same story we've been going through, it says this, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Here's the thing. When we bow down or kneeling down, you can use either term, that is an important posture in worship. And the reason why is because it's got a variety of meanings to it. In Psalm chapter 95, verses 6 and 7, it says, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. I want you to look at a couple of pictures real quick. First, this is the image that most of us think about when we think of bowing down or kneeling down before the Lord. We think of this, some kind of prayer or worship or some kind of holy, solemn moment. And that is true. That's exactly part of what bowing down actually means. But before we go to the next picture, let me tell you something. When I looked up this verse and it says bow down, and then it also says let us kneel down, when you look at that word kneel down, it also means to bless or to celebrate. So sometimes kneeling down or bowing down, getting down on your knees, can be that holy, intimate moment with the Lord, but it can also be a time of celebration. Look at this. Look at the next picture. Look, this guy right here just scored a goal. He's kneeling down. He's doing the posture with his hands raised. And he's even got all his buddies coming to celebrate with him. They're excited. They're laughing. They're cheering. Now look, let me just tell you, if you get real excited about the Lord or something He did in your life, they're on grass. Don't do that in here. You're going to burn your knees up and tear up the carpet. It'll be a bloody mess. Okay, so don't do that in here. Do that somewhere else where you got some pads on your knees or something like that. But the idea is still the same. This is still biblical for worship. There is a place, and I never really knew this until I studied this message, but there is a place where we can worship God in an exciting, celebratory manner, even on our knees. That we come to God. So the idea of bowing down, of getting down, is an important posture in worship. It also has this connotation of I'm going to lower myself to elevate someone else, right? I'm going to lower myself to elevate someone else. And so we've got to understand today that as we worship, it's okay to have different postures of worship. It's okay to lift your hands. It's okay to kneel down before the Lord. It's okay to call that worship. It's okay to have different postures, and it's important because it shows something. It's an external visualization of what's happening to you internally, of what God's doing inside of you as you worship. And so today I want us to talk about three different ways that we kneel down, three different aspects of kneeling down, okay? So we're not going to take long. I know there's kids in here. So the first reason we kneel in pursuit. We kneel in pursuit. And what that means is kneeling in pursuit of relationship. It carries with it the idea, someone's got some Christmas music. Okay, Jim. So it was Ola. It was Ola. Ola singing to us today. Ola said, I sang a special last week, and this week I'm going to have my own special. Y'all didn't give me a special. I'm going to do it myself. But kneeling in pursuit comes in with the connotation of this, the phrase, will you marry me? Let's see. So this is kneeling in pursuit. Now this guy's kneeling. This doesn't look like a solemn, holy moment. She's smiling, he's smiling, she's more than smiling, she's excited. She's about to post this on Instagram. She's real pumped up about this. And so she's ready. So what the idea is this, is I'm kneeling down to say, I love you, I desire you, I want to spend my life with you. And that's okay. Whenever we worship God, we worship God. We pursue Him. Mark chapter 10, verse 17, tells of a young man that was trying to find life. And it says, as Jesus started on His way, a man ran up to Him and fell on his knees before Him, not in a bad way, but in a pursuit way. Good teacher, he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? There is a place where we pursue God from our knees. There's a place where we pursue Him in relationship from our knees. There's times whenever we're praying or we're worshiping God, whether that's here or that's at home, and I will go down to my knees and I just begin to tell God how much I love Him. As a matter of fact, one time when I was younger, I was in high school, I was praying in the shower. You guys know, if you've been to church with me long enough, you know that most of my prayer time happens in the shower. I don't know why, it's just a great place to pray. And so I'm praying in the shower at the time, and at that time I was in a real bathtub. Our house now, we got one of those standalone showers. It's smaller than, you know, most closets. It's teeny tiny, and I knock stuff off everywhere I go. But in this one, we had a regular bathtub in my parents' house, and I was worshiping God, and I was praying. And as I was praying, I just thought about the fact that God loves me. And I don't know why I had never thought about it like that before, but it just hit me how much God really loved me. And I thought about how crummy of a person I am sometimes. And then I thought, but He still loves me anyway. And as I'm just loving God and I'm in pursuit of Him, I kneeled down. I'm just saying, God, I love You so much and You're so great. Thank You for loving me. And I got down. And whenever I got down, I didn't realize this, but bathtubs have a slight slant to them. And you put a bunch of soap in a bathtub and water, and your body will naturally slide to the end. So we've got one of those old faucets that comes out real far, and I go to stand up. I get done with my great moment of pursuing God, and I stand up, and when I stand up, my back hits that old faucet with the sharp edge on it, and it sliced my back open about that big of a gash, and it shocked me because I wasn't expecting to be attacked in the shower, and I fall down in the shower. It's like that movie Psycho where the guy with the knife in the shower and the shower curtain, I'm laying in the tub, and I look down, and there's blood running everywhere. And I begin to holler, Dad! I don't know why I called somebody to come in and look at me in the shower, but I thought I was being killed. And so I'm laying there in the shower. My dad runs in. What in the world is wrong with you? He pulls back to the curtain, and there's blood everywhere, and there's me, soapy, naked, and bloody. It was not a good scene. Not a good scene. But sometimes we kneel in pursuit of relationship, right? The other reason we kneel is we kneel in repentance. And I think when I hear that, I think, I'm sorry, right? When you're really sorry. As a matter of fact, this morning I want to show you a couple of stages of kneeling in repentance. When you first make her mad, you try to have a conversation with her. You're not kneeling yet, fellas. You young guys out there, Zach, newly married, Philip, very newly married, just got married last week. Give these guys a hand, Philip and Sabrina. They got married last Sunday, and they're in church. That's dedication right there. That's dedication. So this is how it starts, Philip. You haven't made her mad yet. You probably won't make her mad for a couple of months. Eventually, you will. And you're going to start off trying to talk to her, and she's going to ignore you. And then we start getting into the kneeling phase. And the kneeling phase is, I'm coming with gifts, and I lower myself down. Baby, please forgive me, right? But sometimes, that doesn't even work. Depends on how bad you've been. And you start begging, you're at her feet. You're just down, you're kissing her toes at this point. And if that doesn't work, you're just hanging on for dear life. You just, I don't care where you go, I'm along for the ride, right? So sometimes we kneel in repentance. We kneel in repentance. We kneel for forgiveness. I want you to look at Luke chapter 5. This is not supposed to be a funny story, but it was hilarious. When I was reading this, I began to laugh. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But Luke chapter 5, it says this, when in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Now I'm about to set this up, but he says, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Peter finds himself in a moment of repentance. What does he do? He realizes that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is good, and he begins to see that he is not. And he says, I'm a sinful man. Forgive me. I repent. I want to change my life. Now, why did he do this? He did this because Jesus had just performed a miracle. And here's the crazy thing. Jesus had performed a fishing miracle. Now, this proves to me that Jesus and Peter are probably from the state of Alabama. Especially Peter. Because Jesus and Peter's been out fishing. He can't catch any fish. And so Jesus says, look, why don't you throw your fish near net on the other side? He does. He reels in this huge haul of fish. And Peter, seeing this amazing fishing miracle, begins to repent. Peter gets saved. Why? Because of a fishing miracle. And I begin to think to myself, I thought, I wonder, had Peter seen any other miracles before this? Because this is early on in Jesus' career. I'm wondering if Jesus has done any other miracles that Peter's seen, and it just wasn't good enough to make him repent. And I thought, what miracle? I mean, fishing, this isn't that big a deal. Surely there's a better miracle than that. So I flip back one chapter, and in the chapter before this, Peter did see another miracle. The miracle was his mother-in-law was sick and dying, and Jesus healed her and brought her back. And that probably made Peter mad, and so he didn't repent at that one. And he repented on the fishing miracle. I just thought that was funny. I thought, what are the chances that Peter doesn't care anything about his mother-in-law getting healed? He only cares about fishing. Don't tell my mother-in-law I preached that part. But for real, I want you to look at Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The idea of repenting is this. The idea of repenting is that I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing. I recognize that what I'm doing is wrong. I recognize that I'm living my life for the wrong reason. I recognize that I'm carrying more chains than I should be carrying. I recognize that the sin that I've got myself wrapped up in is really weighing me down and killing me. Now repentance isn't just about getting saved the first time. Repentance is something we should do every day. Repentance is something that we should do anytime we recognize, like Peter did, I recognize the Lord, I recognize my sin, I recognize my problem, and I need to turn and go the other direction. Repentance is turning from your sin and going towards God. And look what happens when we do. It says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. There's some of us, we hold on to sin so long. We hold on to issues so long, and we can't carry them. And what we need is a time of refreshing. We need a time where God can alleviate that. Have you ever held on to something and you finally told it, or you finally got it off your chest, and you just felt so relieved? My son, Colt, is in the room today. And because this year he's helping buy Christmas presents, he knows what some of the presents are. And for some reason, he has contracted this disease from his Uncle Jesse where he cannot keep a secret about a present. And so I let him help me wrap a present for Emma. And as we were wrapping the present, I said, Colt, do not tell about this present. He said, yes, sir. I said, now look at me in my eyes. I said, you're in big trouble if you tell her what's in this gift. Yes, sir. So about 30 seconds later, he says, Emma, we got you a present. You want to feel it? I said, Colt, I will knock you out. Put that present down, boy. So he puts it down. And then a couple of days later, every day he would walk past a Christmas tree. And he would say, Emma, there's a present for you every day. And finally, about 4 days later, he was just overwhelmed. And we're all sitting in the living room. And he goes, Emma, you've got a present over here. I said, Colt? He said, what? It's just some gloves that we bought her at the store the other night while she... I'm going to kill you. I'm going to send all your toys to people that really need them. And as funny as that sounds, it really did make me mad. But as funny as that sounds, when I was getting ready for my message, I got to thinking, that's how a lot of us are. We've got some issue, some sin, some problem, We may be saved. We may be serving God. You may be at church every week. You may be the pastor preaching right now. But sometimes whenever you hold on to something for so long, it begins to weigh you down and it feels like it's going to kill you. It feels like if you don't let it go, it's going to blow up inside of you. And you need to find that place that they talk about here where I can repent, I can turn away, I can confess my sin, I can get it out, and I can turn towards God. And sometimes we find that place in kneeling down. True, it's good to confess to another person that will be your accountability, that will help you. But for sometimes, we need to just start off by confessing to the Lord. We need to start off by just lowering ourselves and saying, God, I am a sinner. I've got a problem. I've got an issue. I'm lower than you. And I need you to forgive me. I need to repent. So we kneel in pursuit. We kneel in repentance. And the last thing we kneel in is we kneel in submission. When I think of kneeling in submission, it makes me think of the phrase, I surrender, right? So if you see in any kind of movie, whenever the army guys go in and they're going to go take over a building, and they run in and they tell the guys, you know, get down, and they get them down, hands behind your back, right? You think of that. You think of submission. You think of surrender. And the only problem with that thought is this, is a lot of times it comes from a place of fear. And there is a place of fear where you kneel down. There's a place of fear where you get low. And I want to show you in Mark chapter 5, because this is not what we want to do. Mark chapter 5, verse 6, it says, When he saw Jesus, now the he here is a demon-possessed man. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." There's this place of surrendering in fear. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not worship. That's not worship. If you come to God scared for your life, sure, you can kneel down, you can bow down and ask God to forgive you. But there's this place where the Bible says true love drives out all fear. We don't come to God scared. Now, I know some of you say, yeah, but Pastor, the Bible says fear the Lord. That word fear there means to be in awe of. It's more of a respectful term. But we don't come to God scared. Why? Because we know He loves us. We know He loves us. And so I want to show you today that submission here is different than fear. It's different than surrender in that sense. Worship is whenever we worship God in submission, it's more about giving something up. It's more about turning our life over to something. And the problem is a lot of times we don't want to ever give in. We struggle to fully submit. Sure, there's times when we submit to God and we say, I'll go to church every once in a while. Or I submit to God, I'll pray every once in a while. I'll read my Bible every so often. But just don't touch this part of my life. You can't have all of my life. I'll give you a little bit, but I'm not going to give you everything. But God wants us to submit everything. My wife is beautiful. And as beautiful as she is that much competitive. And she does not understand the concept of submitting. Now, I'm not talking about submit to your husband. I'm talking about if we ever get into a wrestling match, right? My wife will never give up. If she were ever to fight UFC, she would die in the ring because she would never tap out. Tap out is not in her vocabulary. Am I right, babe? I mean, there are times whenever she's messing with the kids and she can withstand anything as long as she's not going to give up. And there's some of us, we fight submission so far. We just cannot allow ourselves to fully give everything we've got to the Lord. We fight it. We fight to hold on to what's ours. But Jesus didn't fight it. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. It says, "He went on a little farther and bowed down with his face to the ground, praying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine.'" Jesus understood this concept of I've got it all. And there's an area of my life I wish I didn't have to give up. But at the end of the day, it's not about what I wish. It's about what you want. Let me give you some context to this, because sometimes when you just read that, it sounds very easy. And I know sometimes we think well, Pastor, that's just really easy. Jesus prayed that prayer, and he's Jesus, so it's easy for him to give everything up. But I want to show you context. First of all, you need to understand that he's about to die on the cross. So the little baby that was in the manger is all grown up, and the little baby's about to be executed. And I want you to look at back up at verse 36. It says, "Then Jesus went with them," talking about his friends, his disciples, "to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, 'Sit here while I go over there to pray.' And he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and became," look at the words here, "became anguished and distressed. He told them, 'My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.'" Let me pause right there for just a second. Jesus says, "I'm crushed on the inside. I'm so," for some of us, let's put it in terms we would understand, discouraged, depressed, down, sad. "I am absolutely crushed to the point I'm ready to die. Like, it is that heavy on me." And he talks to his best friends and says, "Would you guys help me?" And you know what? Sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel so heavy and burdened and crushed and discouraged and down. And we try to get our friends to help us. And I used to look at these friends and I used to think, what terrible friends. They fall asleep. But you know what? Sometimes our friends aren't the ones that can help us the most. We think they can. But sometimes our friends have their own set of problems. Our friends have their own set of discouragements. And it's hard enough for them to wake up in the morning, much less get us up out of bed. And so sometimes Jesus says, "My friends aren't really helping me. I'm feeling crushed and my friends are sleeping." So what does he do? It says, he went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground and he prayed. Whenever you feel discouraged, you feel down, you feel out, you feel like you can't give any more, and you feel like you're being crushed, that's the point where we change our posture. And we get down and we go to God and we say, "I've come to you in pursuit. I've come to you in repentance, but today I come to you in submission. And I'm trying to hold on to part of my life and I just can't let it go. But today it's not about my will, it's about your will. And whatever it is you want to teach me through this hard time, whatever it is you want to, wherever it is you want to lead me, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to learn. I'm giving you everything I've got this morning." And we have to change our posture in order to worship him, in order to submit to him. This morning we got to learn to trust and accept his plan for our life. The funny thing about all of this is we want to do those three times of kneeling down. Someone else was preaching with me this morning, helping me out. They said, "Come on, Pastor." That's why I like having kids in here. They talk back to me. They help me preach. The sad and kind of odd thing about this is everybody's going to bow one day. Eventually, everybody will bow. Philippians chapter 2. This is where we're going to end the message today. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Paul is writing this, and a lot of scholars believe that this is part of a song that they used to sing in church, back in the early church. And here's what it says. I'm just reading you a portion of it. It says, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." Every knee is going to bow at the name of Jesus. But what does every knee mean, Pastor? Does that mean just the Christians are going to bow? No, no, no. It says in heaven and on earth and under the earth, every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The idea is this. When it says that about every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, a lot of scholars believe that means not just angels, not just humans, but even demons. That everybody is going to go to a place of submission. And the cool thing about God is he gives us a choice to choose to bow now or bow then. To bow now or bow then. We're going to close out like this today. I want you to know that you have the choice today. And that choice to bow is your greatest gift you could ever give yourself, you could ever give your family, the greatest gift you could ever give to God is the gift of saying, I'm pursuing Him, I've repented to Him, and I'm submitting to Him. That's the greatest gift you could ever give. Why don't you close your eyes with me this morning? Now, we're not going to bow down on our knees today. I'm not going to ask you to do that. I know some of you, maybe physically, that would be difficult. But there's a posture that we use a lot of times in Christian churches, and that is bow your heads. And so when you can't bow your knee, the idea is I'm going to bow my head. I'm going to lower myself. And this is really a place of the heart this morning. And this morning, we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God to give us life. We're going to ask God to forgive us of our sins as we repent. And we're going to ask God to let us walk in His ways, not our ways. This morning, God, we just love You and we thank You for this day. And we thank You for speaking to our hearts. And we ask You today, as we come to You in pursuit, as we bow our heads before You today, as we pursue You today, we just ask that You would come in and You would draw close to us. The Bible says that whenever we draw close to You, that You draw close to us. And today, we bow our heads in pursuit. We bow our heads like the man proposing to his wife, saying, I desire relationship with You. And there may be some of you today, as even as I pray this, you're saying, I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But as you bow your head this morning, you can begin to say, Jesus, I want a relationship with You. I want to give You my life. The next thing is we want to ask God to forgive us. So God, today as we bow our heads, we ask today that as we repent, we turn away from our sin and we pursue You today. We confess our sin to You, God. We're nobodies. We're sinners. We struggle. We have issues. And God, we don't want to hold on to that. We want to give it all to You today. So we repent of our sins. And God, we submit ourselves to You. We submit to Your will and to Your ways. And today, God, we say that we will live for You and live with You the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.